1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 29. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray, Lord, that you would give us a double portion of your Holy Spirit today to exposit your word. We pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, this day. Give us hearts that are soft, that they can absorb your word. We pray, dear God, that we, more importantly, have hands that will do your word and do the gospel when we leave this building. We thank you, Lord, for your son, for everything that he's done for us. We thank you, Lord, for helping us to actually pulling us from the fires of hell. We pray, dear God, we could be faithful servants on this planet until our death. We pray, dear God, that your name and only your name today will be glorified. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we're continuing our sermon series. Those crazy Corinthians, we're up to part 6. The title of today's sermon is A Warning for America. A Warning for America. As we work through the Church of Corinth, we see many similarities. We see many similarities with our large cities today, the same way Corinth was a large city. And people thought they were so smart and so wise. And they weren't interested in the things of God. And then the gospel, through Paul, enters this culture, and he has to find a way to punch a hole through this crazy world. Everything that you see today that's starting to develop in America, times that by 100, and that's what was going on in Corinth. There's nothing new under the sun, saith the preacher. So these things have happened before. The sad part is, America was a beacon of light. We weren't always like this. And things have flipped. We've been duped, especially the church. Our world has been turned upside down in this country. It used to be we had a cold war between ourselves and what is now Russia was the Soviet Union. And we were so good, and those godless communists were so bad. They were atheistic. They only worshiped material things. They didn't care about stepping on the people. As long as the 1% in that country were doing well, the heads of the Communist Party, they could care less. And we used to criticize them. Look at the way you treat your people. They have nothing. You're teaching them to be godless. You're teaching them that only the material counts. That the whole struggle in life has nothing to do with the spiritual. It's just the have-nots getting something. And that's what life is about. Living the way a farm animal does. Just worrying about eating and sleeping and drinking and fornicating and having a good time. The whole world is just the material. There's no God. There's no spiritual. There's no spirituality. There's no soul. Nothing exists except for what you see. And then lo and behold, since the 1950s, here we are in 2013, and I'm living in the twilight zone. My world is turned upside down. It is flipped. You have a former communist Russia that is now supporting the church in that country. They're using their money to help build churches there. They want religion for the people. And here, we're discouraging the churches and trying to smash them so the people don't have churches here. In the Soviet Union, you now have homosexuals that are trying to flee the Soviet Union to get to America to escape persecution there, because homosexuality and all its propaganda is being outlawed in the Soviet, former Soviet Union. But now in America, we want to make it official policy and call anyone that speaks against it a bigot and a racist and closed-minded. And I say, what happened to my country? When did we switch places? Now, granted, there's a lot of propaganda. I am not saying that Russia is this fantastic country today. But the point is, there's a shift in polarity. All the things that supposedly our parents taught us to be against have now come into the country. Now in America, there's nothing referred to as the spiritual. It's all materialistic. Now in America, we have a 1% that doesn't care if the people live or die. They just want their toys. And we've been sold the same dream. Now people will go to the mall more than they go to church. You see, it doesn't matter. You can call it capitalism. You can call it communism. If you worship the material and you hate God in your heart, you get the same results. You are a slave. And when you're a slave spiritually, you lose the protection of God and you become a slave in real life. The American dream now is just like the communist dream. To succeed, I have to collect a check from the government. There's so many regulations and rules now to start a business, to be any type of entrepreneur, there's so much pressure, that's what people want, somehow to collect a check. Is this the American dream? Food stamps through the roof? Disability through the roof? And then when someone tries to work, they're taxed to death, which used to be a communist plank. So what I'm saying is, I'm not anti-government. I'm pro-God. I'm against any government being worshipped. I'm against any government being out of control. Now the problem we have here is, we have taken God out of heaven, and we've placed the government there. Our job as Christians is to believe the gospel, fear God, and then spread the gospel. It's not to have a certain sized house. It's not to have a certain type of car, or two or three cars, or enough expensive clothes. We've lost our mind. This is how twisted we are. We have wars overseas. We've gone into Muslim countries. You know why? Because it's better that we're fighting there so we don't got to fight them here. And you have fake fundamentalist churches supporting this garbage and sending our boys, and now, because things are so twisted, our girls. Remember, that started first in communist countries. The men fought and the women fought. Now we have it here. We're so tough, we send the girls out too. So we're fighting overseas in these countries, decimating Muslim countries, so we don't have to fight the radical Muslim terrorists here. You have people being stoned by Muslim communities in Dearborn, Michigan. So how does that make sense? So we're fighting them over here so we can protect ourselves here, but you have entire communities taken over by a radical form of Islam. Am I anti-Muslim? No. If we want to be godless and give up our heritage, let mosques be built on every street. Because when persecution comes, we'll finally learn our lesson. Maybe you should have been filling the churches more than you filled the mall. Maybe you should have been filling the churches more than you filled the baseball stadiums or the football stadiums on Sunday. Maybe you should know who the apostles are before you know who the 12 quarterbacks are for your favorite conference in football.
Amen.
Amen.
The world, it's upside down. You have Christians, all they do is walk into Dearborn, Michigan with signs proclaiming that Jesus is Lord without saying a word, and they're stolen. Bottles, rocks, everything's thrown at them. And then when the police come, the police stand down and tell the Christians to leave. You tell me I'm not in the Twilight Zone, that things haven't shifted. And today is wonderful. As a Christian, I love technology. Go right to YouTube, you'll see it. We have the video. We have the evidence. This place has been turned upside down. We are just like the communists now. Education is your savior. You don't care if your child's a spoiled, godless brat that doesn't know who Jesus Christ is. She's got a graduate degree. Oh! Or your son. My son's making it. He's on Wall Street. He's got 2 degrees. He's got the house here. He's got the vacation house there. They got everything. Everything he needs. I'm so proud of him. He's got everything. The job, the hookers, the cocaine, everything. He's doing all right. Doesn't got to go to church. Doesn't have to know who God is. He's made it. Do you understand? Doesn't matter if it's communism or capitalism. If you fall in love with mammon, it becomes your God and you destroy yourself. We are destroying ourselves here. Now why would I bring something like that up? Because it exactly applies to our country. And as we break down this small part of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, you'll see it come alive. There is so much wisdom in the Bible. And those who swear they're so smart that they don't need the Bible, you're going to die without the Bible. So God will illustrate the power of the gospel by enlarging his kingdom. He will glorify himself by not using the world's power structure. Why does God use a foolish method like preaching? Why does God use people that look foolish? We go out on the street with our tracts. And when people are cursing at us, we give witness to them and love them anyway. And when your family makes fun of you, you continue with the message anyway. Why? Because it's the power to be saved.
Amen.
It's the power to be saved. You're going to look stupid. People, especially today, they want their toys. They want lust on tap. They want drugs. They want sex. They want to be told they're wonderful no matter what. They don't want a message like the gospel that tells them they're a sinner, that removes their face from the throne in heaven and replaces it with God's face, who's not just holy and merciful, he's also righteous and brings right judgment, and you need to repent. They don't want this. And God shows off because guess what? To spread the gospel, God doesn't need a government. God doesn't need MTV. God doesn't need CNN. Of all things, he doesn't need Trinity Broadcasting Network. He doesn't need these crazy people. God will spread the gospel with foolish people like us, with a book, with a testimony. That's how he shows off his power. He doesn't need the powers of this world to spread the gospel, because his power is not from this world. Amen. It's above this world. And that's why we don't need to make friends with the culture to bring Christ into the culture. We need to keep the culture, the bad aspects of it, out of church, out of worship.
Amen.
So God's going to glorify himself, and he does it by not using the world's power structure. Now I want to show you something. Turn to 1 Corinthians again. We're going to read verse 26. Seems like a short verse, but it's packed with information and instruction. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. This is the trinity of power in a society. When God speaks about the wise, in this book, when Paul, speaking by the Spirit, talks about the wise, it's the philosophers in his day. The Greek philosophers. All these guys that had a theory on how you should live. We suffer under it today. We had a guy who was more of a philosopher than a scientist, Charles Darwin. And we have to suffer with his godless philosophy today. It runs everything. Even though it's been debunked, we still have to suffer under this. So these are the wise of the world. Richard Dawkins. The guys that are going to tell us what the world's really about. They know better than God. Through their own testimony, they're going to tell us how things are supposed to be run. And then we have the mighty. In the Greek, this refers to those influential politicians, the movers and the shakers, the same guys that we deal with today. They're a congressman, their daddy was a congressman, their great-granddaddy was a congressman. These are your political families, or your guys that rise up today. The nobility, the noble, your aristocracy, your upper class, the ones that the media loves to pretend like we care about. I mean, God bless them, they just had a child, but do I really care what happens in the royal family in England? I thought I was an American citizen. I want to hear about American politics. Why do I got to hear about another rich, spoiled brat somewhere that had a kid, that never worked a job in their life, that never comes out for Jesus Christ in public? What do I care? Tell me about the martyrs in China. Give me a news report about the martyrs in Africa. I don't want to hear about the royal family. I really don't care.
Amen.
But this is what they do. So the wise, the mighty, and the noble. This is your unholy trinity right now. And what it does is, the politicians, the aristocracy, and philosophers, the reason why not many of them are called, it's not because we have a prejudice or any type of animosity towards the philosopher, the politician, or the upper class. We just want them to love Christ. It's not because of their position, it's because of what they do with their position. Now, many of these people do come to Christ. We have many of these people that admit the beauty and the majesty of Christ. We just read last week a quote from Napoleon Bonaparte, speaking about the divinity of Christ and the majesty of Jesus Christ. So we still give witness to these people anyway. But these are the ones that we suffer under. These are the ones we suffer under, so why admire them so much? And one of the things that you're not told in your history class, your antiquities class, they love to teach about the Greeks, but what they don't tell you is underneath this pyramid, this structure, are the slaves. These are the despised. Any society that takes this shape always has a slave class. See, we exalt the Greeks. That's why we're just like the Greeks. We're forming a society of slaves. What they won't tell you is in ancient Greece, 2/3 of the people were slaves. So much for his brilliant philosophy that set everyone free. The gospel sets people free. That's why they don't want it to get out there. The Bible is a dangerous book. Because it takes man off the throne, it puts God on the throne, and makes all men equal again, where we actually have to love and respect each other. So the world uses its power structure to glorify mankind and the Antichrist, the nation whose foundation is not the law of Jesus Christ, will always suffer sudden destruction. Jesus brought the gospel. He didn't bring any law or commands, really. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as thyself. Turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation 18.
9:14.
Now, we're not reading this as a premillennialist, a postmillennialist, a preterist, or whatever. We're reading it to see what are the qualities of a nation out of control. Of a nation out of control. Or a great city out of control. It never changes. When I read this to you, I guarantee this is going to sound like the front page of the newspaper. You tell me if anything has changed. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works in the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously. I love that. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. This is not the bride of Christ. This is the whore that declares herself in charge, that needs no salvation, needs no husband. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off with the fear of her torment, saying, Alas! Alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth, the multinational corporations, shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet, and all thine wood, and all manner vessels of ivory, and all manner vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. You tell me this doesn't describe us today. You tell me this doesn't describe what people are going after, what nations go after when they're formed upon wickedness. When you worship material things, and you want to know something? When these systems collapse, the people cry over it. Because we love this stuff. We love these guys. I don't attack a mayor, or a president, or a communist leader, because this is what the people have brought upon themselves by not loving God and Jesus Christ. They want this stuff. I like these people. They help bring in and allow the coke to come in for me, and the marijuana. They're going to legalize it for me. I can get high all the time and not get in trouble. I want my smack, my heroin, my pills, my oxy. This is great. There's a liquor store in every corner. This is wonderful. This is freedom. They bring in what we want. They trade for us. The bling, the jewelry. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. I don't care if it's probably slave Christians in China building my iPod and my iPhone. I want it. It helps me in church. I can shuffle through the Bible quickly. It's a gift. So it's not the people. It's what they do. It's not the people. We are not communists. We don't think that if you take the slaves and switch places, things are going to be fine. Because one thing we find out, when you don't put God in charge of a nation, and you give men too much power, you can reverse the slaves with the aristocracy. The slaves will act the same way the aristocracy did once they get there. We know it. We say it in the neighborhood. You forgot where you came from. We say it all the time. Somebody makes it in the neighborhood. Oh, that brother made it. What's the first thing he does? Runs. Never see him again. So we're not saying that it's the positions, it's what they're doing with it. And that's why they need the gospel too. So the nation's foundation is not the Lord Jesus Christ will always suffer sudden destruction. We have seen this. And we're not making a commentary on why it happened. But we see in one day your world can change. We cry because of a storm here. Yeah, we suffered some things. But what about Haiti? What happened in Haiti in one day? There was voodoo and partying and the whole thing going on. That's the number one country for children being sold into slavery, being used as servants and as slaves. And one day their world changed. And it's not the bad mouth Haiti because there are Christians there. And they're now suffering with those people. Why them and not us? Are we any better? Are we any better? It's God's grace. That's why we love them and send our money there. We don't buy season tickets for sports first. We don't buy liquor first. We don't buy marijuana first. We send money to our brothers and sisters suffering in other lands. We build nurseries and hospitals and these other things. If you have more, you give to those who don't have. Has anyone heard of Japan being in the paper in the last year or so? And one day, what happened? A storm, nuclear reactor went down. It doesn't matter how great the nation is, and we better stop with our arrogance, because in one day we could be brought to our knees too. And if we don't change, it's going to happen. And there is no technology, no army, no political scheme that's going to save us, because we have deserted God. And God have mercy on you when God deserts you. So God will glorify Himself, even if it brings judgment on His own people. Those who want to be called by His name will be held accountable. The whore church always aligns herself with the world power structure instead of Jesus Christ. Now, you take this power structure here, right? And it's built on slaves, right? Does that look familiar to anybody? Maybe not. Now what happens? What are we supposed to do as Christians? Are we supposed to be revolutionaries? Are we supposed to be stupid and silly and try and kill these people or pray against them and think everything's going to be okay? This is not where we just reverse the classes. We don't hate communism and socialism so much that we do the same thing and just reverse positions. We want to build a kingdom that glorifies Jesus Christ. We want a kingdom that glorifies Jesus Christ, a society that glorifies Christ. Now we know from our Bible, instead of a pyramid structure, when we have a nation that's faithful to God, it's going to look more like this. We're going to have Jesus Christ as our foundation, as our cornerstone. And then instead of having this pyramid structure, through the gospel, with the way we treat each other and love each other, it's going to look more like this. Don't we read in the Bible how Jesus Christ evens out all things? We don't want to smash these people and sit on top of them. We don't even want to trade places so quickly. It's the way we treat each other and honor each other. There's nothing wrong with being a multi-billionaire. Just give some of that money to the poor instead of the Museum of Modern Art, instead of your fancy operas and other plays. You can enjoy that. That's great. But what about giving some money to the poor? What about respecting people regardless of what position they're in? You can be from a royal family. Because you're from a royal family, you can't hand out plates to the homeless. You're allergic to the homeless. Because you're from a royal family, maybe instead of having 600 prized horses that you ride on for your polo tournaments, maybe you could have 599 and the money from one of those horses maybe start an orphanage. You see what I'm getting at? I can't live in a royal family. I'm not aristocracy. I'd make a mess in the place. I don't need to be royalty. Just let's treat each other fairly. Let's have a society that's based on the gospel. Let us not be evil and envious. There are a lot of Christians that are envious. They think they're being self-righteous, but they're envious. They make fun of the leadership. They make fun of billionaires, but there's an envy in their heart. They make fun of the reality TV show stars, but inside they really want their life. I don't want their life. I want them to be saved. I want them to be saved. We need these people to turn to Christ. It's wonderful when they do. Can you imagine if we had a president that really became a born-again Christian and started acting that way? He might be assassinated eventually, but the point is, can you imagine if we had that? Can you imagine if somebody like a Jay-Z really turned to Christ? It might ruin his career, but do you know how much of an influence a person like that has? So when we criticize them, it's not because we hate them, it's because we love them. You can keep all your money. I don't want your money. But turn to Jesus, even if it ruins your political career or your entertainment career. Turn to Christ. How much money can you play around with? So this is the way it should be shaped, like the New Jerusalem. It's level with Jesus as our foundation. We're not communists, we're not capitalists, we're Christians. Treat everyone the same. Even in the Bible, slaves eventually are set free because of the principles in the Bible. God owns men. Men do not own other men. That's why when you throw God out of the picture and make some man or government your God, they own you. You eventually become their slave. You don't want the easy yoke of Christ. You want to play your games and not be moral and not honor Christ, so you run into the mess that we showed before. But this is the way it should be. It's okay to have money. It's okay to have fame. Use it to the glory of God. Now, these just empty words. Will God bring judgment on His own people? Does He hold people that are called by His name accountable? Turn to Jeremiah chapter 7. So we see God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak, the base things. Even more disgusting than the world is when the church behaves this way, is when we have this type of power structure in the church. When we have the church acting like the world. When instead of glorifying Christ, they're glorifying themselves. When pastors and preachers and denominations and bishops are making slaves of their people, instead of the ones on top being Christ-like and loving the people, loving the flock, and serving you and dying for you, they make you slaves and die for them. So they can have an extraordinary life. Does a pastor get a pass? If he's living like Jay-Z, if he's living like royalty, does a pastor really need the third private jet or the fifth Bentley? Do they get a pass because they put a Christian label over it? Is it okay what LA preachers are doing? Because they're preachers, do they get a pass? Is that garbage show any different than, Basketball Wives or Keeping Up with the Kardashians or any of these other shows? Do they get a pass because they use a Christian label? This is what God does when the church acts like the world. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house. Not the White House, not the outhouse. The Lord's house is where judgment starts. And proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and have a national day of prayer, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. You think we're going to be the country that aborts as many babies as any other country, that sends off funds to the United Nations so China can have a one-child policy and kill babies there and make fetuses a delicacy and eat them and fry them and put them in soups? You think we could do that? You think we could promote godless lifestyles and overturn this whole country? And the church is supporting it. It's at the church's door. The liberal modern church. The one that Machen warned us about years ago. That the prophets spoke about thousands of years ago. You think you're going to get away with that and then have God's protection? And you're going to have some cheap national day of prayer? We don't need a national day of prayer. We need a national day of repentance.
Amen.
We don't need fancy suits standing on the lawn. Get out in the street in front of your house in sackcloth and ashes, and then you'll see this place change.
Amen.
But that's the Old Testament, Pastor. You're preaching fire. We don't want to hear that. That's the Old Testament. What about Jesus? He takes everybody in. Everybody. You don't have to repent. He takes everybody in. Every freak, every maniac can come into the church and be the pastor. Jesus never spoke like this. God's word stands as a testimony against the fools that speak that way. Turn to Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 16.
7:21.
This is Jesus Christ, the sovereign Son, the King of the universe, the one who reigns now. He is the one that allows the earthquakes and the wildfires and the other disasters that occur. He's sovereign. Let's meet the real Jesus. Not the Jesus of History Channel. Not the Jesus of TBN. Not the Jesus of your godless mainline denominations. Meet the real Jesus in the Word. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God. And what did he do? Did he give him healings? Did he give him visions? Did he give him prayer dust, miracle hankies, houses, cars? What did he do when he entered the house of God? And cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, Does this sound familiar? It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise?
Amen.
Does that sound familiar? Jesus overturned it the same way he does in the secular world, even more so in those that are called by his name. He will not let you be a whore in his church, especially the religious leadership. All of this will be overturned. And that's where we come in. That's where we come in. You who have simple faith and know the cross and bring the cross to the world will be honored, where the religious leadership that was teaching you garbage will be judged. Persecution will come to this country, and every godless minister with all his bling and with all his false gospel and all the sewage that he's been pumping out of his church will be beaten and thrown into a jail. And it won't be because of the socialists or the government. It'll be because they are the servants of Christ and he's cleaning house. When you want to see if a church is faithful or not, bring persecution. The rest jump off the ship as it looks like it's sinking. And then all that's left is the faithful. And the whore church always aligns itself with the world power structure instead of Jesus Christ. They always do this. Remember we told you? The Christian homosexual inquisition is coming. It's all the churches that are going to line up and say that adultery is okay, and pedophilia is okay, and homosexuality is okay, gay marriage is okay. It's those churches that will team up with the government and point at us and say they're bigots, they're racist, they're wicked. That's not what the Bible says, even though the Bible says it word for word. They're the ones that will come after us. They will always align like a whore with the unfaithful world power structure because they don't want Christ, they want fame. They don't want to be persecuted, they want a good name. They want a high position in life. It's all been a show. So this is what our God does. And unfortunately for the heretic, it's in the Old Testament and it's in the New Testament. And the pincushion buddy, all of Jesus, who judges no one and will bring, you think is going to bring every unrepentant sinner into his kingdom. You're in for a big surprise. Just read your Bible. So this is what God does. He's not going to let the power structure in the world take away from his glory. He's not going to let the power structure in the church take away from his glory. For you see your calling, brethren, how there are not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. God has reversed the equation totally. So, in the world system, in the way we like to behave, we love the wise. We worship the guy with the big language. We love the college professor. Or because he has 8 or 10 years of schooling, now he's equal with God. We love the mighty. We love the movers and the shakers. Remember, Stalin was Time Magazine's Man of the Year. Adolf Hitler at one time was Time Magazine's Man of the Year. We don't learn history anymore. We don't do any research. I'm not going to tell you that one in school. We love the mighty. We don't care about the weak. We don't care. We don't want to read stories of the martyrs. When the church was strong, Fox's Book of the Martyrs was one of the most popular books. We don't want to read that anymore. We want Holy Roller New Testament financial secrets. A 2,000 square foot house isn't good enough for us. You know most houses in America are 10 times larger than worship centers that the persecuted church worships in? And it's still not big enough for us. Still got to do it bigger and better. But this is what God does. He reverses this. He reverses this to show his power. This gets turned upside down. So now, what seemed foolish is on top. And what seemed wise is on the bottom. The Pharisees and the scribes, many of them came to Christ. But many of them didn't. Who was praising God? The simple guy, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, the plumber, the Jew in that day who was taxed to death by the Romans, who was oppressed by the temple, who had to go into the temple and deal with the money changers to get a proper sacrifice to offer on the holidays. Just like me, just like you, just like the working Slavs today. Our tax rate, when you work it all out, and plus what the church tries to swindle from us, godless churches, is probably at 70%. They were suffering the same thing. But those are the ones that God honored. He turned it upside down. The simple gospel makes you wiser than any politician, any philosopher, any godless church leader in this world.
Amen.
Don't let them discourage you. Get out there. Knock some giants out and give witness. And this is the way. This is the way Christians ought to behave. Okay? Christians must always rejoice in the knowledge of God and not the culture. Back in Jeremiah chapter 9. And we're going to end on this. This is all we have to glory in. This is it. My favorite verses in the entire Bible. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. God loves the poor slob that has the gospel. God loves the persecuted with nothing but the message of the gospel. God loves the homeless. God loves the lower middle class. God loves the faithful believer sitting in a godless church right now. Maybe you're 10,000 strong, and there's 100 that are a remnant. And the pastor cares about the 9,900 more than the 100 because they bring in the money and they keep him on TV. Don't be discouraged. God is with you. God loves you despite your church.
Amen.
We are in for a rude awakening. We will survive. You understand? With Christ, with the gospel, we will survive. When the floodwaters hit this area, we weren't panicking. It made us band together more. God worked it out. That's what we do. Now, if church leadership was lying, we're going to be blessed. 100 years of prosperity for Coney Island. We won't see another storm. You guys got your prayer hankies. You bought $6,000 worth of miracle dust last month. The church is doing fine. I got my Bentley outside. We're going to be all right. When those floodwaters came, you would have beat the living daylights out of me as you lost your house and your neighborhood. But we always told the truth. For 5 years, we're telling the truth. Look at these streets. They're not going to look the same. How many times have you heard that from this pulpit? Look at those streets. Don't be fooled. Tell the truth out there. You'll look like an idiot now. You'll look foolish now. But I'm telling you, when the finances collapse and the checks collapse, you will be seen as a prophet. You're the one that told the truth. When you tell people that Christ loves them and they can persevere through the gospel, when things come crashing down, they'll thank you. Thank you. You told me the true gospel. You love me enough to tell me the truth. To have told me the truth. Now, when hard times come, I'm ready. Are we to lie? Did Jesus tell his people, do you see this temple? You see these stones? They're going to stand for another 1,000 years. Is that what he said? To make them feel good? He told them in 70 AD they would smash. They would get smashed because he loved them. And the ones that loved him fled. The remnant ran and survived. So that's the message today. Warning for America with a K. We are in the twilight zone. We are totally worshiping the material world. It doesn't matter if it's capitalism. You understand? It doesn't matter if it's communism. You can live in a so-called capitalist country and be brainwashed and just hating God, hating anything spiritual, and just loving the material. And it can be in simple ways. You know why? Because we are living in a material world, and I am a material girl. Isn't that more brilliant than putting a gun to someone's head and making them memorize it? You make them listen to a song that they think is catchy 9,000 times. You don't think that gets into the brain? Life ain't nothing but women and money. The Ice Cube used a different term, which I'm not going to use. All these things get into your head. Life is nothing but sex and money and clothes and jewelry and drugs. And you get hit with it through the radio, through the internet, through everything. You need the word. You need the word. It's going to come crashing down. Let us pray. Almighty God, we ask you, Lord, that you would please bless your word. We pray, dear God, that the same way Paul, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, was explaining true doctrine and meat to the Corinthians, explaining the true worldview to them that comes from you, that America, Lord, would accept this warning, that we would turn and run back to Christ, who has spoiled us and given us so much in this country and built us up from a nation of simple farmers into a world power, and we turn our back on him. We turn our back on him. We don't give money to the persecuted church. We send money and finances to Al-Qaeda. We don't give money to our brothers and sisters in Africa who don't even have buildings to worship in. We send money to the Muslim Brotherhood. What's happened to us, Lord? What has happened to us? We send money to China so they could fulfill their one-child policy, but we won't send a dime to Christian suffering around the world. What has happened to your people, Lord? Please, God, change us. Let us spend less time at the casinos, at the clubs, at the stadiums to watch the sports and the entertainment and at the concerts. Let us spend more money, Lord, giving it to faithful ministries who support the martyrs, who support the persecuted church. Please, dear God, we beg you to change our hearts before it's too late. Please save us from destruction and judgment. We pray, Lord, that this little church, the little strength you've given us, that we get out in the street and fight in your name by bringing the message of the gospel. Because we know, Lord, that even though we might look like fools today, in one day we can look like prophets when your judgment comes. We pray, dear God, we could save the children. We could save the young generation, the teenagers. We could save the gangbanger, the pimp, the prostitute. We could save the aristocracy. We could save the politician. We could save the billionaire and the millionaire. We pray, dear God, that we're able to pull people through the fire. By your sovereign grace, it's going to happen. That people respond to the gospel. And that they're saved. They turn from this materialistic garbage worldview, whether it's capitalistic or communistic. We pray, dear God, for continued blessings in this church. Please guide us, Lord. Keep us humble. And always push us towards your Son, Jesus Christ. In him alone is their salvation. And he alone is King. Amen.